Okay, welcome to the Releasing Judgment meeting. My name is Katie. I am a compulsive overeater and your speaker for this meeting. Hi, Katie. Hey, everybody. Thanks for showing up. Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Before we get started, we ask that all cell phones and other electronic devices be turned off. To protect anonymity, no photography, audio, or visual recording is allowed, except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware that if you are speaking or sharing and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording, and you must sign a release up on the table after the meeting, or before you speak, or whatever. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. Would someone please read the 12 steps? Carol, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Carol.
12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, sought to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Great. Thank you, Carol. The format for this 55-minute session is as follows. I will share for 10 to 15 minutes on the topic, followed by open sharing. Again, the topic for this session is releasing judgment. I will now share my experience, strength, and hope on this topic. And yes, I'm nervous about this. I brought pictures to hopefully fill in my story, since I'm going to try and stick to the topic. I'm having a judgment about myself about not being as prepared about this as I could be. Though, to give myself a break, I just agreed to speak on this topic this afternoon. So there you go. And I'm kind of glad, this is a good topic for me because I am a heck of a judgmental person. I can judge you on anything depending on how, usually it's how bad I feel about myself is going to be a possible predictor of like how harsh I'm going to judge somebody else. Because I hold myself to really high standards and somehow other people have to, you know, be held up to those standards too. And, it's interesting. I've noticed that. Not like all behavior in other people is completely acceptable, but, I can really get some of the triggers for me that can make me start judging somebody. I'm big on lateness, man. No offense to the person who just came in. but things like, you know, at work, we got meetings. Where the heck are you? You know, this is my time. Or, I don't know, other groups I've been in where it's like rehearsal starts at 7. You walk in at 7:15, what's your problem, you know? And because I made it here, and why can't other people, and la, 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 stuff like that. It can be really superficial things like grammar. And again, it all depends on where I'm at in my own personal self-esteem on that scale. I have a lot more capacity for letting somebody be imperfect when I'm having a lot more capacity for letting myself be imperfect.
a phrase that's really been helping me lately is I'm doing the very best I can. We're all doing the very best we can. And it just, I know it's simple and it's kind of obvious and maybe freaking cliched, but it really somehow is like, oh yeah, I'm doing my best. And we all are. And again, that doesn't mean I have to accept the unacceptable. I mean, if someone's really being an a-hole to me, I don't have to stand there and take it. I can walk away. I can say something, whatever. But in situations, but that's still like knowing they're doing the best they can. You know, it helps me not have as much of a resentment about it. I can think of some people in my life where I can go, yeah, they're really sick people. You know, that's why they act. That's some of the reasons they act that way. And then, you know, of course, when I'm like realizing we're all doing the best we can, some of the things like lateness and bad grammar and, you know, I don't know, whatever else, you know, flakiness, whatever I want to call it. I have a note here, stupid work questions. What I mean by that is, I'm talking into the mic like it's going to amplify me. I know it's just for the recording. Anyway, I realized a while ago that I can take any question as a criticism. So if like someone at work or if I in my OA service staff asks a question, I can easily take it as like, oh, they're asking this because I didn't take care of this quickly enough, or I wasn't clear on this communication, or I should have said this. I should have had this all just perfectly figured out ahead of time to anticipate their every need, and they would not have to ask it. I'm like, ooh, too much headspace, right? But that's what I can do. And again, when I'm back to in that place where I'm feeling better about myself, I can let that person have. It wasn't my fault that they needed to ask a question. It's not even a bad thing. It's just what's going on. So I practice. You know, we're all doing the best we can. I practice waiting. My sponsor just the other day gave me a great acronym for what WAIT stands for. It's like, why am I talking? Or why am I texting? Or why am I typing? Or why am I telephoning? And it's like, oh, yeah. It's like, most of the time, if some communication, it's often around communications that can trigger me to be judgmental, too. It's if it's triggering something in me where I'm getting, when I start going like this, like I have to react, and what's the right way to react? Well, I don't have to react right away. I can wait to respond. And most of the time when I can do that, I come up with a much better response, you know, an hour later, a day later, whatever. And I've even had experiences where, this happens at work usually, where I'll get an email with a question that I have no freaking clue how to deal with. And on some level, it is my job to deal with it. And what happens so often is I'll just walk away from the situation, take a break, whatever, and I come back, it's like, oh yeah, that's what we do. Easy. Or overnight. And especially if something comes in at the end of the day and I'm tired and stressed out, that 5 minutes left, I am way more, I guess 10 minutes? Okay. I have way more capacity, if it's at the end of the day and I'm tired and stressed, it's way more probable that I'm going to be like, what is this? And WTF? And, you know, and more likely, and if I send an email after that, I am way more likely to, like, you know, verbally bite somebody's head off or, you know, whatever you call it. And I've had it happen a couple times at work where I won't respond in the afternoon. I'll wait till the next morning. Like, I'm all set to do it. And then someone else responds, and they've got this great idea of how to deal with it. And I'm like, sure. And I just respond back, that sounds great. Let's do it. You know, and cool. Already taken care of. Sometimes in the moment, sometimes I can't, you know, it's hard to let things go. Like, if I'm watching somebody, I mean, things like, you know, again, like lateness, you know, I'm in rehearsal, this person came in late and it's driving me crazy. And they're always late. And it's like taking up all this headspace when, is it really impacting? It is impacting me in a certain way, but I can't really do anything about it then. And it's not my place to say something to them. And, you know, some things that have helped in that situation is just to like mentally say, I love you to that person. And that just kind of takes a little energy away from it for me, which really helps. What else? In terms of judging myself, I think I kind of touched on this, but I can judge myself for every little fault, for not knowing how to do things. I think that's part of where that impatience comes. You know, when I was talking about those emails that come in, they're like, oh my God, I take a question as a criticism. It's like, I expect myself to just be, I don't know, omnipotent, and I'm not. And, you know, I can have words in my head like, it's all my fault, I should know better, I'm too sensitive, I'm too moody, I'm too busy, I should have done this. And it's like, no, I'm doing the very best I can, right? And it's that's finally starting to sink in. Like, I've been practicing that for a long time, and it's finally sinking in after I don't even know how many months. Well, I'm not sure what else to go with on this other than the other part of what I think I want to say is part of, I mean, I definitely think judgment is related to resentment, and I think part of, I mean, I mentioned saying, saying in my head, I love you to someone who's acting in a way that bothers me. Another thing for me to do is just pray for them, kind of like the resentment prayer from the Big Book. It's just, I just pray for this person, you know, and, whatever's appropriate for the situation, you know, I hope that you feel appreciated, or I hope that this person feels happy, or I hope they feel serene, or, you know, because I don't know what's going on. You know, people are late, and just because they don't look tense about it, maybe they are tense about it. Maybe maybe something happened and they're like, oh my God, I should have gotten here. No, maybe they are. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with any one person. And it is really freeing to have that space to give somebody, to let somebody be a human being. Because then I get the space to be a human being, and oh, wow, if we all get space to do that, isn't it just a little easier to live in the world? I don't know what else to say. I guess, to qualify, kind of out of order, I guess. I've been back in the program for, it'll be 14 years in May of this year. My first meeting was in 1990, and when I was 17, I was a senior in high school, and I went to a meeting, you know, a few weeks later, I actually started working the program. I got a sponsor, I worked the steps, lost a bunch of weight, started college, and then I kind of lost that abstinence and was eating a lot, and I floundered for another, you know, about a year and a half. And I was going to meetings, I was calling people, and I tried to find sponsors, and it's just, all I can say is I quit before the miracle happened. I mean, I woke up one morning and realized I don't have to go to OA. There's no, like, this isn't like taxes, you know. I'm not going to go to jail if I don't go to OA meetings, right? And I just quit. And then without going into a whole long foodalog, let's just say I gained a ton more weight. My highest weight was somewhere around, well, the highest number I saw on a scale was 189. I'm very sure I got higher than that, just considering how sedentary I was that summer and how much I was eating. So I call my high weight, you know, somewhere between 190 and 200 pounds. I don't know what I weigh right now. The last number I saw on a scale was 125, but then the doctor told me I had gained 7 pounds. I'm presuming I'm around 130. Okay. So it's hard to know my exact weight, really. So that's 5 minutes left. Cool. I don't do the scale because that brings up self-judgment. If you want to go back to the topic, I can be having this, like, I can have the squeakiest clean abstinence ever. I can be like feeling good in my clothes. I can like love when I look in the mirror. But if that number isn't right, and right is such a relative term right now, if that number isn't right, then my day is ruined. And it's like, really? You know, that's why I weigh backwards to the doctor. They will say something if the number's not okay. And they have. I mean, you know, I mentioned a few months ago, they said, oh, your weight's up. And I was like, and they told me how much. I was like, ooh, okay, but all right, so then we'll, you know, got to take a look at that. And I have, and I've made some changes, and hooray. What else? I guess another way to, it's interesting because I'm finding working the steps and doing service, working the steps, I mean, I'm all about working the steps, just in a broad general thing, no matter what topic we're talking about. I'll tell you right now, I didn't get my current abstinence, so I was well into my ninth step, so I'm all about just keep going working with the steps. Some people are like, you shouldn't work the steps until you're abstinent. Well, it took me working the steps to get abstinent, so there you go. And I think working the steps is a way to work on those character defects, including judgment of others. First time I did my gateway of a fifth step, we called that acting superior. So there you go. Actually, wait. Impatient, selfishness, acting superior. Yeah, holding a grudge. Yeah. I'm all about, like, yeah, trying to be, because I have this low self-esteem, I got to feel better than somebody else, you know. I did a little 10th step on somebody the other day, and I realized that, I mean, I'm going to be honest, this person's behavior is in my, I really think it's unethical, but there's unethical people all over the world. I don't get that riled up about every single unethical person I encounter. And I realized this person was in my face, he's in my life, you know, I actually have, you know, anyway. And part of that resentment fuels, I get to feel superior to her. It's like, ooh, ouch, you know, but that's, I still feel that need, right, for some reason. So, okay. But I think part of the working the steps is a way to help releasing judgment. I think also doing service. I'm a big service pusher. I would say this in any topic meeting. The people I know with long-term abstinence all have worked the steps, and they all do a lot of service. And I think it's possible to do service no matter how much time in program or how much abstinence a person has. There's something for everybody. And I've definitely learned about letting go judgments and resentments and with that, because you know, you do service and no matter what, something's going to come up. And you just learn how to set boundaries with people and be in integrity at that. I had a judgment in a meeting where I was the literature person and my commitment was up and no one was taking over. And I finally just said, hey guys, you know, if no one takes it tonight, I'm taking the literature home. I'm not taking it home until someone takes over this commitment. And you know what? Somebody stepped up right that night. So, and the way I was able to let go of the judgment was just made the decision that I'm not going to enable this anymore. And, that was a really healthy thing for me to do. And I guess the final thing I'm going to end with this. I know we all have judgments. And y'all might be judging me right now. And okay, that's cool. Whatever, you know. Do with that as you will. And I've certainly had judgments about people here at this convention. I had judgments about people at the airport yesterday. I just have judgments about people. And sometimes they stick in my mind and make me swirl for hours. And sometimes I, you know, think about it, let it go. Okay. In general, I do not feel judged in these rooms. People may be judging me, but I also know that they're trying to work on themselves, and they're going to try and, if it's bothering them that much, they will try to do something about it. I feel very loved and accepted in these rooms. I've had times in my life where I feel the rooms are the only safe place for me, because you guys do accept me, even when I'm, you know, just my, you know, face is red from crying and I have no idea what to do and I'm cussing my brains out or I don't know, I'm stumbling through a horror in my judgment, a crappy share. You know, there you go. You guys are all here, right? Yeah, it's just a good place for me to be. So I think with that I'm going to end and hear what you really super nice people in the area are going to say. And I'll sign the release form. okay, so the meeting is now open for 3-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the topic and limit your sharing to 3 minutes to give others a chance to share. The meeting will end at 8:55.
Hi, I'm Jolene, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jolene.
Thanks for your share. I liked it. So, I'm sorry I'm sharing again if you were in, because I've shared twice in marathon meetings. I feel a little guilty about that, but I love this topic. And I shared something in my regular meeting on Wednesday morning, and I really feel bad about it. Like, I feel like I shouldn't have shared that thing that I shared. And I like that you talked about, like, but the room is a safe place, and that even if people don't like what I share, it's not going to come back and bite me on the ass. You know, it's kind of like, it's just, it happens and then we leave, you know, and I'm just so grateful for that. And I feel like I'm kind of in a, like, just a disgruntled state right now, like, for the last, like, month or so, just irritable, restless, and discontent, and the rooms are the one place that I can be safe to express that and not feel like there's repercussions. And, you know, I, with my partner, who I live with, I feel like sometimes I go to her and share my irritability, and the reaction I get is just so, like, it's so, I feel like it's really judgmental, and then that just makes me feel worse. So I know that in this time when I'm feeling this way, the best thing for me to do is go to more meetings probably and make more phone calls. And I like that you talked about doing things between, like, after 4. I don't know if you exactly said after 4 o'clock at work or whatever, but there's this guy that I work with who I think is one of us, and he, whenever he wants to do something from which I have a little more knowledge, he always starts at, like, 4:15, and he's just, like, banging on his desk, and he's, like, getting so angry and then wants to come to me for help, sort of. And I'm just so judgmental of him, like, why do you wait till 4:15, you know, like, oh, why didn't you? And I actually very rudely said to him on Thursday, I was like, you knew how to do this yesterday, or you knew how to do this before, I don't know why you don't know how to do it now. Oh God, I'm so ugly. Like, and I knew as soon as it came out of my mouth, that was really rude to say. And so I came back to him, like, later when, you know, like, I cooled down a little bit, and then because the reason why is because I feel like he's mad at me, like, it's my fault, I haven't made it easy enough for him to do his work, and so I'm judging myself, and I don't like being asked questions. I love how you said it. It's just like when someone asks me a question, I feel like they're judging my work, and I have so many issues with that. But anyway, I came back and offered him, I was like, so what's the problem? Can I, you know, went and helped him. And, like, we figured it out. And then he, I'll wrap up, thanks. And then he, like, said thank you. And then he said thank you again. And then the next morning came in and was like, thanks again for your help with that. And it's just like, God, just be nice. You know what I mean? Like, just be nice. And I'm going to remember that, you know, everyone's doing the best that they can. And you're totally right. And I want to remember that. So thanks so much for your share.
Hi, I'm Sophia, compulsive overeater. In recovering bulimic. Thank you so much for your share. I've been looking forward to this all day long, this releasing judgment, because I'm super judgmental. And, you know, the thing is releasing judgment. And I had this question come into my mind of, like, well, if I release judgment, then what do I have? I don't have any. What do I have? What is my, it's my weapon in the world, you know what I mean? It's my sword. It's what I go out with, you know what I mean? It's my protection. And it's like listening to you, it was like, what do I have? What can I replace then with judgment? Well, I could eat food. I don't want to do that, you know, but I would still be sitting in judgment. And the answer is compassion. And I always forget about compassion. And it's taking me years in this program and joining another program to get to the point of compassion, right? It's about, like, it's like what you said, like, we're all doing the best we can. I had a run-in with a coworker who I really like and who I really admire. And he said something to me in front of others and embarrassed me. It's my ego. So he embarrassed me. It's like, do not embarrass me. My ego was massive, and if you embarrass me, man, it's just like, I'm gonna murder. It's like, so glad there's no weapons around, because it's like, that's, it would be like, oh, you know, that's how it feels. It just, like, hits me so hard, and I admire him so much. And then I asked him about it, like you said, like, you have many choices. So I asked him, I let him know that my feelings were hurt. I don't know if that was the best thing. And what I really wanted from it was, the criticism that I got from him was something that I feel insecure about, and I wanted to know what he meant by that, what examples. But before I can even get to that, he blew up at me and basically berated me for 30 minutes with me antagonizing him, because I was enjoying him freaking out so much, because that's another part of my sickness, enjoying people flipping their shit, you know? It's like, I love a meltdown, I love a train wreck, I love that stuff, you know? It's kind of like, it's like, you know, people are, they're like me, it's like a kinship almost, I love it, it's like a crying toddler, it's like, I think it's hilarious, I'm like, I get it. Like, I do that all the time. Like somebody said in a room, whenever I overeat, it's me throwing a tantrum, right? That's my version of a tantrum. I don't hit the floor and kick anymore. I just eat X, Y, Z, whatever. So, but he was just doing the best he could. And whenever he said what he said to me, he was using his defense mechanism, which was to hurt me because he felt I hurt him. And I had no idea that I did. He was doing the best he can. Compassion. And that's what I really got from this. And the whole, when you're annoyed at a person, I love you, that's like bleach, you know what I mean, on a stain. You know what I mean? Like on a white sheet or whatever. You know what I mean? That is so powerful because it's the exact opposite of judgment, right? Judgment. Compassion. I love you. Even if you don't really love them, but it's like, it's so contrary action. It's so counterproductive. And I got so much from your share. And it was so awesome. And I feel like, oh, yeah. If I could just remember the thank you, I like tattoo it on my like my corneas or something. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it feels like. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Vicki, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Vicki.
And whether you thought your share was good, bad, or ugly, it was good. So thank you for everything that you had to say. I think, you know, because there's been a lot of different themes today of, like, fear, anger being fear. If you're not in faith, you're in fear. And this kind of reminded me of that, too. Like, for me, when I'm being judgmental, in a way, that's another form of my own fear. So this is just a silly example. So we have three boys. My husband and I have three boys. And there's people in our community. There's two other families that have three boys, literally our boys' ages. So, right, you would think that we would be friends. Like, we'd be friends with that family of three boys and that family of three boys. But for whatever reason, it's never happened. We've had the families over. They didn't have us back. Or, you know, just little things happen. And I won't really think about it. And then maybe I'll see one of them. And then I'll start being all judgmental to my husband about them. And I'm like, what is up with that? And it's sort of this fear, like, the reason they never reciprocated because we weren't good enough. We weren't maybe wealthy enough. Maybe, you know what I mean? One of our kids has special needs. Maybe they didn't want to deal with us because they knew that our son had special needs and they just didn't want to. It's so weird. And I have to be so careful because it's just my fear. It's just my fear. And I, too, you know what? I do have a lot of judgments. I don't realize at the time I'm judging until I reflect later. And then I'm like, oh, you know, that wasn't really nice. And I have a really hard time, not saying no, I can say no now, but like, so I'm a faculty somewhere, happens to be a college, and something will happen and a student won't pass my class, and you should hear the sob stories, imagine, right? And then, I have to be so careful to just stick to the facts, you know? And I that's a hard one for me because I feel like I start to get roped in and I start judging them, but I don't really know who they are, and I have to just stick to the facts. And that's a really hard thing for me to just be like, syllabus was posted online, you signed a contract when you started your intern. You know, like, I just have to be so, like, you know, and they're on the phone crying or they're in person crying, and I just say, you know, it's like a form of equity. If I do this for you, then for the other 18 people, I have to. And it's so hard for me, and I have to be so careful not to judge. And I'm kind of ashamed of myself in a way. But when I tie it back to the fear, I can understand it because, you know, I do go to a lot of fear when I'm not feeling in faith. Like, I re-injured my back recently, and I was laying in bed for a long time. I can barely sit. Now I can sit again. It's been over 3 weeks, but I can finally sit again. And I was sulking a lot. And my husband was like, oh, my God, you're just like the little sulky girl. Like, should we have a feel sorry for Vicki night? What are all of Vicki's woes? Like, tell me all of your woes. And you know what I realized, you guys? I did this as a little girl, too. It's like a weird, sick mechanism. So, anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Io, compulsive overeater. And my experience with judgment, that's why, I'm sorry I came late, but I have a person in my life that's really judgmental, very critical of me. And I find that I rely heavily on being judgmental as a defense mechanism. Because I often feel like I only have two choices, either, you know, accept and believe what they're saying, which makes them good and right and me bad and wrong, or, you know, get my own little bag of weapons and then, you know, they're bad and I'm good. And so recently my sponsor said, well, of course, that's really black and white thinking. You give yourself only two options. And she said, you know, what if the third option is that you're both very sick and that you're just also very human? And it has helped me have a lot of compassion for this person in my life. And it's also given me a way to, like, not have to be judgmental, but also to not have to own or accept those judgments on me, even though they're like vocalized. And I do agree, like, that, a lot of times when I'm judgmental, it's out of a place of fear. It's a fear of, like, well, were we supposed to do it that way? Because if they're right, then I'm wrong. Like, it's this fear I have that I didn't get the memo, that I'm not doing it right, that I'm not, you know, where I'm supposed to be in life or something. And it happens in all these weird ways. I know, like, I'm also in education, and one day I found myself, like, looking at my professors, and then looking at my colleagues rate my professors, and then there's this other website where you can see the distribution of grades, and am I giving too many A's, and am I giving too many, it was just, but then, you know, I have to see if they are, and then whatever judgment I have on myself, it can only be balanced out if I see there's another loser, or, you know, I'm with the majority of the group. And it's a very heavy mechanism I think we put on ourselves. And it's mean. And I just want to commit to not judging other people or myself, and remembering that judgment comes from the same place, whether it's judging me or them. It's a place of fear for me. It's just driven by fear. So, thank you.
Carol, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Carol.
I just love this mentally saying I love you to someone, and it reminds me of when I was in high school. I had a friend who, whenever she did something wrong driving and another driver would get angry at her, she would blow kisses, and it just always looked so funny. And I think that, like, diffuses any anger that there might be. And for me, I learned how to be judgmental at a very young age. It kind of was my self-defense. It's either you or me, you know, like, either someone had just said that. It's either I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong. And it's all tied in with judging myself and this inner critic that I've had, the voice that's telling me what I'm doing wrong is that same judgmental voice that's telling me when someone else is doing something wrong, and I'm judging them. And what I found is that the less I give credence to that voice, that inner critical voice, that judgmental voice, the softer it is, and the more work that I've done on taming my inner critic, the less judgmental I've been with other people. And I actually have done work on this critical voice within me, and what I was told was that it's just a conglomeration of all those voices when I was a child that were trying to keep me safe. And so if I listen to my inner critic and I say, it's just trying to keep me safe, it kind of puts a different spin on it. And I learned, instead of feeding that inner critic, to find an inner champion, that part of me that would say, yes, you know, you did it right, or you aced that. Or and so I've taken on this inner champion that is just doing a dismount off the uneven bars and just plants their feet perfectly and just has this landing, and my inner champion goes like that as the crowd is going wild. And it helps me to cheer myself on and say, yes, you did it right. And by that, I can listen to others and allow what they're saying to go without judging them.
I'm Zoe, compulsive reader.
Hi, Zoe.
I'm sorry for being late. thanks. This is my first Zoe birthday party, and I'm from Santa Barbara. I've been in the program for a year and a half, but I have not been able to get more than 45 days of abstinence. Though throughout my time in OA, the periods of abstinence have gotten longer and longer, so I'm grateful for that. I really like this topic because one of the greatest gifts that I've received from this program is being released from judgment, and not completely, but I feel like I've gained a lot of clarity and basically just the voice of God, which to me is truth. And he really just says that I am no better or no worse than everyone else, and we're all on the same plane. And that was really different from the way that my thinking used to be, because I was always just making judgments and rankings, like what you guys have said, okay, this person's better than me, that person's worse than me. And also, when I first came to the program, just being listening to all the shares, it was really hard for me to not feel so much self-pity for myself and be like, that person's, oh my gosh, they're so funny, and that person's so insightful, everything they say is so profound, and feeling like I was inadequate in some way. But really, I think that I'm just doing the best that I can. Another way that I feel that I've been released from judgment is my way of looking at religion and spirituality, because I grew up in a very irreligious household, and so I was always very tentative to believe religious people, and I always kind of thought that I was in the right and they were in the wrong. And I was recently reading in the Big Book this sentence that said, be quick to see where religious people are right. And that's something that kind of applies to everything in my life. When I hear someone talking about some kind of theory that they have or some kind of social position that they take, I try to see where they're right, and I try to see the similarities that we have in our viewpoints. And even just with my brother, he's kind of a conspiracy theorist, and so, you know, he like believes in aliens and all this stuff, and just like listening to him speak, I'm like, you know what, nothing is out of the question. Like, he could be completely, totally right, and I have no reason to doubt, really, you know. And I just love that sentence in the Big Book, who am I to say that there's no God? So anyway, I'm really, really grateful to be here, and thank you all for listening.
Hi, I'm Danny, a compulsive overeater, sugar addict. And, gosh, it's a great way to end the day by coming to something like this because, you know, I either feel like I'm going to be more judged or less judged in here. I'm not sure. But I'm willing to just be out there anyway. I think what I want to share about is just how this program has really helped me deal with my own self-judgment, because I think that I just harbored all of this judgment about myself that I just didn't know about, and I didn't know what to do about it. And you know, I don't know, I'm my harshest critic. And so when I hear criticism, especially from the people that are closest to me, it really hits home, especially when it hits to those insecurities that I have about myself. And it makes it so hard to take, and it must have made me a horrible person to be around, because I would just react to those kinds of things. And what this program has given me is such a gift. You know, it's a way to look at myself and take better care of myself and find that I'm worth it, and to really look at where that judgment comes from and realize that I can let it go, and I can give it over, and I can make better choices, and I can live a life of integrity and of better quality, all because of this one little word. You know, it just carries so much weight to it. And I don't know. I mean, it's also helped me a lot with just practicing gentleness, you know, because I don't live a perfect life and I don't make perfect food choices as much as I'd want to, because, you know, I like to follow the rules and I just want to do it. But I realize that that's not reality. And so every time I mess up, and the holidays brought a lot of temptations that I gave into, I've been in the program now about 8 months, and I just was just trying to be gentle and just forgiving myself and not holding on to that judgment. And then, you know, the next layer out is that even though I'm really harsh and critical of myself, I do the same thing to my loved ones. And there's a lot of resentment that I'm harboring towards some of them, especially because now they haven't found the program and I have. And I see them struggling with the same things and living in the same cycles. And I find myself talking about it a lot and feeling that judgment, and I haven't let go of that for them yet, but I've got to get there. I just feel like the more I can quiet the judgment inside me, you know, I can let go of some of that self-pity, and I can look at trying to be of service to others. And because I'm so new, I still feel like it's all about me. It's about my food choices. It's about this. And I sometimes forget that, thank you, that I really want to be of service to others too and need to figure out how to do that. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Cheryl, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. And I think when I was sitting there listening to all of you, I was just thinking about different ways that I associate this topic, and one of them is making assumptions. And I think it's really easy for me to make assumptions about other people and where they're at in their life and why they do what they do, and that assumption is what leads me to make those judgments oftentimes, because I often don't know what is going on with them or who they are, why they're doing what they're doing. And so that's a really great reminder for me all the time, is to try my best to not make assumptions. I also like to remind myself that focusing on other people and making judgments about other people takes away the work that I've tried to do on myself and the time that I've tried to spend on myself to be more compassionate, to be more loving, to just be a good person, to do my best. And instead of, I don't know, I'm a very visual person, so it almost takes this like big bowl that I've filled with all these really sparkly gems and stuff and starts taking them out one by one and instead replaces it with ugly rocks or stones or something, and that just sits and weighs heavily on me. And so I want to continue to focus on myself and to focus on the positive stuff and to look at other people. And I don't believe that I can fully be non-judgmental. I think that there's a lot of societal impact that we have in trying to be the best, and especially in our country, like with being independent, being number one, getting to the top, all of these messages that I received when I was younger. And growing up in an alcoholic family, wanting to get out of there, so I needed to be better than that, you know, so that I could make it out of that chaotic life. And I did, and that was useful at that time. To be better then got me into really good schools and all of that kind of stuff. But now it's not so useful, and it plays out at work, which I think is very toxic because I spend most of my time at work. And judgments lead to gossip, and gossip leads to rumination, and all that negativity, again, I just feel like is dropping those ugly rocks in that bowl that I'm trying to keep so glittery and sparkly and positive. So that's what I'm working on right now, is really working on my judgments of other people within my work environment, and not needing for them to be better than me or me to be better than them, but just focusing on myself. Thank you.
But I'm a compulsive overeater. I didn't used to think I was judgmental. That's kind of funny, really. I was thinking about my sister saying I'm the most opinionated person she knows. Well, I'm sure she is the most opinionated person in general, but she said that, and it's like, I don't have any opinions. What do you mean? And then it's like, I keep on finding that these problems I have with people are because, you know, my opinion, you know, it's right, you know, and you're wrong, and what's wrong with you? And, you know, it's that perfectionist person, it's my mother, who had to have things just right, and I know I'm not perfect in so many ways, but I'm a perfectionist, and which kills me in so many different ways and makes it so I can't get anything done, and makes it so that my husband probably isn't too happy with me a lot. I'm pretty critical. And he is pretty sensitive, which is not a great combination. Just like being Aries and Aries, fire and fire, and bullheaded. It's not the best union, but there's probably a reason why it happens. We both needed this lesson that hopefully we will get soon. But it's when sometimes I beat him down, not that I try to. He says I'm, what is it called again? something with balls in it that I can't think of the name, but anyway, it has balls. breaking has balls. So I guess there's no men here. They would have probably, you know, offered it. So, but I don't try to, you know, I don't try to do that. But he's always saying that, and he gets a little violent. And I mean, I was in another group where they talk about being a man could be either violent, valiant, or violent. So, you know, probably when you're a little critical, it brings out that the not the pretty side, not the pretty V. And but I'm very hard on myself, which is kind of like what everybody's saying here. And what else did I want to say? The gossipy thing. We were talking about it in one of the other sessions a lot. It's strange because we have somebody living with us, this woman that was supposed to be like just for a month. Well, it's almost 5 years now. And recently it started to bug me all of a sudden. And I find myself sometimes talking to my neighbor, and these things come out of my mouth that I shouldn't be sharing. And I walk away feeling horrible. It's just like this really quick thing. You know, she's probably a pretty safe person to talk to, my neighbor. But it just doesn't feel good. And so I walk away, you know, judging myself and wishing I could erase it and wanting to call her to say I'm sorry. You know, I just do this when I get upset. I do this. And it doesn't mean I don't love this woman who's living with us. It's time for her to go. And you know, and look at me talking about someone else when there's so many things that I do that aren't that great, including, and I will tell you, everybody, is that I just had dinner. I didn't, if I would have had the dinner, if I would have gotten in, registered in time, I would be sleeping here tonight, but since I didn't, it's either all or nothing. I did register, but okay, I'm not doing the hotel since I'm not having the food. Didn't, you know, sign up in time to get the food, so forget the hotel. So I just ate in the bar and had, I don't know if I should tell you guys. I'll let you just imagine. But some people would probably be judging me. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Oh, it is now time to close the session. I would like to thank those of you who gave service at this session and for all of you for attending. And after a moment of silence, please join hands as we close with, let's do the serenity prayer. What do you think, form a circle?
Can I make a suggestion of Roseanne, the founder of OA? She used to say the serenity prayer. By saying, God, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one that I can, and the wisdom to know that I am that one.
Good.
I just wanted to share that with everybody.
That's a leader's choice, so I like that. So, yeah, let's see if we can do that. We can try it. Okay. Yeah. Right, Jan, thank you.
All right, have a little moment of silence to do what, as you will. God, grant me the serenity to accept the person I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that I want to make me.
All right. Keep going back to work. Okay, guys.